5 till 5.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Top of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast, this Thursday, December 13th, 2018. And so hopefully this isn't too much. Hopefully it's not redundant. But I think that was a good segment that Glenn did earlier this year. It's big corrupt government. And we don't need to audit the Federal Reserve, but we'll talk about that after the clip. Go ahead, please.
After the 2008 financial crisis, the TARP bailout. Remember, we were debating $700 billion. Well, I remember when $700 billion was a lot of money. Yeah, I do. Anyway, $700 billion, huge number. But several years later, after Bloomberg successfully won a Freedom of Information Act request, it was discovered that the Fed was doling out a little bit more money than that. Just a little bit.
Here's what the Fed didn't want you to know. From August 2007 to April 2010, the central bank put $1.2 trillion of public money at risk in secret loans to financial institutions.
Oh. So even though Congress only approved $700 billion, they doled out $1.2 trillion. Of course they can. And don't you dare say anything about it. As Alan Greenspan said, there is no one that oversees us. So, we're talking the Fed. I'm just wondering, if they said it was 700 and now this report says 1.2, how much money did they actually print in our name and dole out to their buddies? Was it 700 billion or 1.2 trillion? Or
we have spent a lot of time in Congress talking about the $700 billion TARP bailout, which I voted against, as it happens. Not a whole lot has been talked about with regard to the $2.2 trillion that the Fed has lent out.
Okay, so it was 700, now it's 2.2 trillion. That's just three times more than the government said you could do. But it gets a little hairy from here. It gets a little crazy. Because journalists were like, whoa, wait a minute, can I get my hands on those documents? And it seems like the real figure was actually just $7.7 trillion. But wait, there's more. If you act right now, the 2011 Government Accountability Office pieced together everything they could, and it can be yours at the low, low price of, wait for it, limited access, putting together a report, nobody's talking about it. Rand Paul, Bernie Sanders seem like the only ones that care, right? How's a friggin' socialist one of the only people talking about the GAO's latest findings? Here's the updated number. Go ahead, Bernie.
As a result of an independent audit that some of us helped to bring about in the Dodd-Frank bill, we learned, Madam President, that the Federal Reserve provided a jaw-dropping $16 trillion. In virtually zero interest loans to every major financial institution in this country, to central banks all over the world.
Now I'm telling you, honey, sooner we're not going to be able to afford the cat food. Oh, hang on. $16 trillion! That's it. When you factor in the asset purchasers, the researchers have found that the real number is not even that number. It's actually $29 trillion. But you're not going to find out where all that money went. Who in the Fed benefited from it? Oh, yeah. One little pesky detail came out in the GAO report. Small little blurb on how the president of the Federal Reserve Bank of New York, William Dudley, he owns stock in American International Group. That's short for, oh, AIG. Oh, I bet he didn't benefit at all when AIG was among one of the money laundering, money institutions that was bailed out. Yeah. Now, some might call that a conflict of interest. Others might just say, this is illegal. But if you work for the Fed, doesn't matter. They call whatever you want because they can do whatever the heck they want. Now, Senator Sanders, again, a socialist, would say that this corruption is all due to capitalism and the big banks. But here's the real issue. It's big, corrupt government. Bankers will always try and make money. But the root cause of all of this is when Woodrow Wilson, of course, signed the Federal Reserve Act and gave the keys to our money supply to a group of private banks. The people that invented the Fed, the concept, they did it at Jekyll Island. Doesn't that sound like a bad idea? They were all the who's who of the banking industry. The president of the National Citibank, the heads of J.P. Morgan, the president of Bankers Trust, the heads of the major investment firms. Of course, they just wanted to protect the industry and the American people. And they took the power to control monetary policy, and they were also handed the biggest client in the world, the United States government. The collusion between government and the Fed not only serves the interest of the banks, but it also does one huge thing that benefits big government politicians. It keeps the government in debt. Now, Glenn, oh my gosh, why would you say that about the... How could keeping the government in debt be sought after by bankers and progressives? Well, how many times have you heard somebody on the left say, well, you know, having a national debt is actually a good thing? I ever wonder why they believe that? We did. Yeah. Check out this quote from Alexander Hamilton pleading his case for a central bank back in 1781. Quote, it'll be a powerful cement of our union. It'll also create the necessity for keeping up taxation. Wait, what? The banking industry good old boys keep exploiting the system for their benefit, while the government maintains a reason to take more of your money through taxes. Is it time to audit the Fed?
No, it's not time to audit the Fed. It's time to abolish the Fed. I mean, that's, I guess to use a crude analogy, that would be like saying, we see this person exhibiting criminal behavior, and we know this is criminal behavior because there's a pattern in history of this behavior being criminal. So we see them doing this, and I'm talking about real criminal behavior, not you cross the street at the wrong place at the wrong time and that kind of nonsense. Not social engineering and obedience training. Not that. Criminal behavior where real people are really injured. There really are injured parties, not corporations, not state of versus. So this person is exercising criminal behavior and doing it over and over. And maybe we should investigate. Are they really? No, maybe we should just put a stop to the criminal behavior. Maybe we should arrest the behavior while we investigate. So you create these disparities, and Keynes said it very well. You know, Lenin is said to have declared that the best way to destroy the capitalist system was to debauch the currency. And then he wrote, by a continuing process of inflation, that's what happens when you're printing $29 trillion. That's inflation. You're inflating the currency. You are devaluing or degrading the purchasing power of each unit in that system by printing more. Eventually, Triffin's dilemma is a real problem that must be confronted. You debauch the currency. It becomes worthless. There is no... At some point, there's a point of no return. There's no way that the full faith and credit of whatever people anywhere on the planet could restore the value. Well, there's no value because it's not backed by anything in this case, but the purchasing power and could pay off all the debts that are owed. because this is a debt system. And so who are the debts owed to? And so at some point, the trust evaporates like the purchasing power, and the currency is worthless. And that's when you have hyperinflation. Anyway, Keynes, in The Economic Consequences of the Peace, wrote, by a continuing process of inflation, governments can confiscate secretly and unobserved an important part of the wealth of their citizens. And again, this is called the first money game for bad guys. They think it's fun and funny to take advantage of people who can't see this process working. The first money game, it comes off the printing presses. It has more purchasing power than when it circulates through the system, gets to the end of life, so to speak, and has less purchasing power than when the notes were first printed or the digits were first created. So continuing, Keynes wrote, by this method, they not only confiscate, but they confiscate arbitrarily, or somewhat anyway. And while the process impoverishes many, it actually enriches some. The sight of this arbitrary rearrangement of riches strikes not only at security, but at confidence in the equity of the existing distribution of wealth. And this is where, you know, if you can create a system like this, this starts to harp on the issue we were talking about yesterday generally. And again, there are nuances, but this is where it starts to get easy to foment class warfare. When you have these kinds of systems that create an arbitrary rearrangement and massive disparities. So continuing, Keynes wrote, those to whom the system brings windfalls beyond their deserts and even beyond their expectations or desires become profiteers, who are the object of the hatred of the bourgeoisie. See what I mean? Whom the inflationism has impoverished. They're just working class folks in a lot of cases. They don't even realize. They wouldn't call themselves bourgeoisie. Not less than a proletariat, which is an interesting and provocative observation as well. They're all just working class folks. It's a bifurcation fallacy to say, this is it right here, just these groups. No. There's someone orchestrating this fomented crisis and conflict. Someone somewhere, perhaps those who have orchestrated the creation of the system, perhaps, maybe. Continuing, as the inflation proceeds and the real value of the currency, or the purchasing power in this case, because there is no value in the Federal Reserve note. There is no value. It has purchasing power. That is an important distinction. As the inflation proceeds and the real value, Keynes wrote, of the currency fluctuates wildly from month to month, all permanent relations between debtors and creditors, which form the ultimate foundation of capitalism, become so utterly disordered as to become almost meaningless. And the process of wealth getting degenerates into a gamble and a lottery. Remember, and I've told this story before, I worked for Great Western Bank on Fairfax in Los Angeles in the early 90s. It was, people call it Little Russia or Little Israel or a little bit of both. Seeing folks come over and get, handed thousands of dollars just for showing up. That's an interesting experience. Where's my SSI check? Interesting experience. But those were the days when if you didn't have anything else to do on Monday, you would call the overdraft list. It's just a list, every once in a while. Mrs. Jones, did you realize your checking account's overdrawn? Would you mind coming in at some point? Sure, I'll come in later this week. It was no big deal. It wasn't a big deal. Now you've got predatory on top of predatory on top of predatory. You have systems that reconcile at night that are designed to be predatory. When the reconciliation happens nightly, for example, the debits come out first and the credits go in next. What does that do to some folks who are living paycheck to paycheck? $30 here, overdraft, $30 there. $30? It's outrageous. So a person who's working, say, $20 an hour, there are lots of $10 an hour jobs still, $15 an hour jobs. If it's $15 an hour someone is working, that's $30,000 a year. roughly, that they're making, and $30 represents 2 hours worth of work, and that doesn't even factor in the taxation, not just what comes directly out of their pocket before what little they get left, but then all of the products and services they try to purchase. So really, what is it, 3 hours? Approaching half a day, one overdraft fee. And there have been several articles talking about how that's just a boon of billions and billions of dollars for the banking industry. I digress. Anyway, it's much different now than it was in those days back in the 90s. And I remember we were still sort of talking about the SNL scandal, speaking of the Bush family. You don't hear much about their involvement. We were still talking about that back then. And now Michael Milken is a hero. Yay. He's such a kinder, gentler, wonderful person. Everybody is. You know, history tells us that GHWB was just a philanthropist. And so was his son W and Jeb and all these people. Just wonderful people. We were just confused at the time. So don't believe the propaganda then. Believe the propaganda now. Oh, wait. So the process, Keynes wrote, of wealth getting degenerates into a gamble and a lottery. And, you know, we played the clip, Paul Harvey, and what'll you bet? Gambling becomes an institution, a mainstay, and it's everywhere now. It's everywhere. So Keynes concluded this thought. Lenin was certainly right. There is no subtler, no surer means of overturning the existing basis of society than to debauch the currency. The process engages all the hidden forces of economic law on the side of destruction, and does it in a manner which not one man in a million is able to diagnose. Destruction, an interesting word. You know, you think of Oppenheimer and all of these guys, Robert Oppenheimer, and all of these guys talking about destruction. You know, it's a point that James Corbett and Richard Grove talk about in their discussion. You know, it obviously comes up in the backdrop of World War One. You know, you have Alfred Nobel creating dynamite, and then the Nobel Peace Prize, you know, to, I would say, the way I would put it, to assuage his troubled conscience, or maybe not so much, because you have to have one for it to be troubled. But these people that just constantly, everything is a weapon. Everything is a weapon. You know, I was thinking about that, these DefSec contractors, and musing the other day, why does everything have to be a weapon? Seriously, that is not normal. That's not a normal thought process. You have not gone through your life where you're walking around and everything. You know what? We could turn that into that. We could make that explode. And normal people don't think like that. It is a deranged mindset. It is a disturbed mindset that thinks everything should be a weapon used to kill people. I was reminded of this musing during yesterday's broadcast. And afterward, while I was actually reading an article for work stuff, web stuff, the article titled Everything You Need to Know About HTTP Security Headers by Max Weitzman. It was published last January 2017, over at AppCanary, blog.appcanary.com. Not that you care, but so he mused. Some physicists 28 years ago needed a way to easily share experimental data, and thus the web was born. This was generally considered to be a good move. Unfortunately, everything physicists touch, from trigonometry to the strong nuclear force, eventually becomes weaponized. And so too has the hypertext transfer protocol. Very amusing. The article is quite good, actually. And, you know, if you're into that stuff, it's you know, good article. Very informative, too, and only slightly disingenuous in the sense that the wallet that has perennially funded these efforts is bent on destruction. And, of course, the ARPANET was born of those seeds, wasn't it, as we know. Anyway, it's the holiday season. It's the Christmas season. We'll be right back. Stick around.
Take a look at 5 and 10, listening once again, with candy canes and silver lanes aglow. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Toys in every store. But the prettiest sight to see is the holly that will be.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. As most of you know, my regular listeners, I offer energy cleaners for sale at my website. If you don't have a clue what I'm talking about, go to my website, thelibertyman.com, educate yourself about these marvelous healing devices. We focus on pain mitigation and getting a great night's sleep. Arthritis pain, joint pain, back pain, doesn't matter. Keep in mind, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. Energy cleaners, $285, shipping included to American zip codes. You can educate yourself all about the energy cleaner right there at my website, the patent application, the wonderful testimonials. Be sure and check out the factory-made fitted mattress pads to go with the energy cleaner. Now, I offer from me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. I have a toll-free order line, or you can order it right at my website at thelibertyman.com. The toll-free order line is 800-592-9543. I say again, 800-592-9543. Thank you.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Welcome back. Try to put this in simple terms. It's a big subject, but you know, this again gets back to the article I mentioned, which is representative of articles everywhere around the country. This one from NBC Montana: low-income housing development planned in Whitefish. And the point, I suppose, in simple terms, is if you install a central banking system with a debt-based currency like we have, every monetary unit that is issued with debt associated with it. That's the first problem. Or maybe the first problem is that the system is in the hands of an largely, or if not entirely, unknown cadre or cartel, as J. Edward Griffin would say, which is certainly an apropos term, and unaccountable. And again, each unit that is issued at debt. That is a huge problem. So when you have that kind of a system, you will create disparities. The borrower is servant to the lender. You will, by nature, create disparities that will, as Keynes pointed out, impoverish some, enrich a very few. The arrangement or rearrangement isn't so arbitrary as Keynes tries to lead on. It's pretty simple math to those who go to the London School of Economics, for example. It's the first money game. Ha ha ha. You know, if we're helping to steer and guide congressional appropriations, it's no mystery. We just make sure that it, you know, comes hot off the presses into our hands first. And then we benefit from the disparity that's created by introducing new units into the system. The inflation takes a while. It takes a while for equilibrium in the system to work its way out, but it does sooner or later. As we, I mean, again, you can go to the store, if you're old enough to remember, a can of coffee used to cost half as much and you get twice as much in the can. Now a little bag of coffee costs 10 or 20 bucks, depending on where you are, even at the grocery store. It's insane. You start thinking about that. What are you going to do? And these are just little things, little examples. Are you going to work for an hour? I wish we could play the video. You know, and there's another video. This reminds me of the cat. The Truth Factory, you know, the Truth Factory cat on YouTube. Why the yellow vests protests are spreading. That's an interesting bit. Anyway, but the point, the lucid observation there, you know, to say that, you know, this is people have to work anyway. People, you know, normal people who aren't paid to be bussed in somewhere. And I don't know if you've ever seen it, but I've had conversations. I've had some interesting moments in my life. I've told the story, I think, a couple of years ago in Portland, there for a wedding, you know, saying, you know, we're hearing about the protests that just happened to be happening the weekend of this wedding. And I was commenting, you know, sometimes these people are bussed in and they're actually paid to be here. Really? That's crazy. I know. It's so crazy. Crowdsondemand.com. Your home for protests, rallies, advocacy, audiences, PR stunts, and political events. Services available nationwide. So sometimes these people are bussed in. No way. Next thing I know, you know what? Somebody was talking to the folks making the signs in the lobby of the hotel we were staying in, and guess what? How much were you guys paid to be here? What? We weren't paid to be here. Oh, they're on to us. They know. Shame on you for doing that, by the way. I mean, find something else. That's just despicable. You know, it's that old adage. You know, if you have to ask the question, you probably already know the answer. Mama always said kind of thing. Or as some friends would put it, come on now, you know you're wrong. You know you're wrong. You shouldn't be doing that. It's despicable. You're basically being paid crumbs to pit yourself against your fellow community members and countrymen. The ghost of Karl Marx is alive and well. Very sad. Very unfortunate. If we could just get out in front of our noses a little bit. Speaking of Richard Grove and his point, you know, the studies that say the attention span of the average American is 8 seconds, just a second less than a goldfish.
Oh, of a white Christmas. Just like the...
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. This product is superb. I have been taking it for about a year now, and I can feel my cardiovascular system run like a Swiss watch. I definitely recommend this product for anyone that has high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and heart palpitations, A+. It's potent, but it works. I have been waking up for the past 3 years with numb hands, and a week into using Extendivite, my numb hands seem to have cleared up. My circulation was off, and now it's back on track. So I'm happy. I feel so energized, and I have my husband on it now. My mother-in-law has cholesterol problems, so I bought her a bottle as well. Thank you so much. Love the product. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Mistletoe hung where you can see every couple tries to stop. Rocking around the Christmas tree, let the Christmas spirit ring. Later we'll have some pumpkin pie and we'll do some caroling. You will get a sentimental feeling when you hear. Bows of party rocking around the Christmas tree, have a happy holiday. Everyone dancing merrily in the new old-fashioned way.
Brenda Lee. Welcome back. Already. Holy cow. I wish that I could give you the video. The video seems to have disappeared on this article. Really wanted to just do that simply. I wonder, this NBC Montana article that I'm talking about, that is, you know, again, it's representative of what's happening everywhere in your community and my community. It's this is what happens when you impose, I would say, a central banking system. Why did we need it? And, you know, we should go back in history and correct some of the wrongs, shouldn't we? The Federal Reserve was created under false pretenses. Even that infamous page, St. Louis Fed. Sorry, I'm doing too many things at the same time. Do you see a video on that page, Mr. Bordop? It depends on your browser. If you're using Chrome, it seems to work. Firefox, no. I don't know about Internet Exploder. Okay, can you cue that, please?
Housing costs, hot topic in the Flathead, especially in Whitefish.
Marion Davidson has the latest on the city's effort to provide affordable housing. Marion.
Laurel and Maritza, potential renters and homebuyers aren't the only ones who want affordable housing. It's important to businesses, too. I was told that more than 60% of people that work here in Whitefish actually commute in from outside the city. But recently, some big steps have been taken toward bringing more affordable housing here in Whitefish.
Whitefish. It's a mountain town known for its ski slopes, quaint downtown, and pricey real estate.
It's extremely unaffordable here in Whitefish.
So unaffordable that some people who work there can't live there. According to city officials, the average home price is almost $500,000. A steep price for the city's many service industry workers, like waitresses, shop employees, resort workers, and more.
In the last 4 or 5 years, it's become really a critical factor in the ability of businesses to fill job openings in there and keep our economy rolling.
The Whitefish Housing Authority is determined to change that. They just got $6.7 million in federal tax credits to build a low-income housing development.
And we moved fast. We hedged all our bets, decided in our heart of hearts that we were going to win this award.
The development will bring 38 units of low-income housing to the city around fall of 2020. In this case, low-income means $18,000 to $28,000 per year. But a 2016 housing needs assessment said the city needs to have 980 affordable units by 2020.
This is a drop in the bucket, but it's a good drop in the bucket. 38 units at one time is a good start.
Low-income workers aren't the only ones struggling to find affordable housing.
Middle managers and managers of their businesses, and entrepreneurs here as well, folks who are fledgling business owners.
The U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development defines affordable housing costs as 30% of household income. According to the Housing Needs Assessment, a household that brings in $100,000 per year still wouldn't be able to afford the average home price in Whitefish. And Collins thinks that needs to change.
It's a daunting task, but the city wants it, we want it, the chamber wants it, the businesses want it.
The Whitefish Strategic Housing Plan Steering Committee is meeting tomorrow. They're just expected to update us on how different parts of the affordable housing plan are progressing. Live in Whitefish, Marian Davidson, NBC Montana.
Thank you,
so
Mary.
You could call it, I don't know, Heartland America kind of piece. It's something that affects everyone. And you hear in the story that it's not just low-income people. Middle-class folks are having the same problems. So if that's the case, then doesn't this cause us to maybe look a little closer and see that this is – And you hear in the story, it's a drop in the bucket, but the more important concern, I mean, there are lots of different things that we could sort of pick apart about this story, but the bigger concern is, okay, so it's a, you're doing something. I mean, somebody's going to get rich on the $6.7 million federal tax credits. Who gets that? Where does that go? Certain people will get, you know, they'll make out like bandits, undoubtedly. But what happens tomorrow? What happens next year? The disparity that created the problem will persist. And like I keep saying, you know, in little towns across the country, year over year, the taxes that you raise this year will not buy the same level of service next year. And the same income that the townspeople make this year, same problem. So if you think it's bad now, wait 5 years, wait 10 years. What then? And so and then of course the corollary to that, which reminds me of the clip of John Judge that I wanted to play. Maybe we can play that at some point too. When he was saying, it's this circular problem. You know, you have these armies that go and, you know, we raise these standing armies and this massive, you know, $1 trillion a year military industrial complex that has how many hundreds and hundreds, approaching 1,000, probably more. Just the bases that are acknowledged, let alone clandestine and listening posts and all this other garbage. Spying everywhere. How much, you know, resources, I guess, for lack of a better term, does that take? Spying everywhere. I think we should play that clip. Just a couple of minutes of John Judge here. I think he said it best. Go ahead, please.
When we're being educated back then, they certainly didn't go there to free women any more than the Civil War was a bunch of white people fighting each other to free slaves. And these are economic realities. There was something going on there that had to do with taking oil in the Caspian Sea area and getting it down to the Persian Sea through Afghanistan. And deals were cut by a company called Unocal with the Northern Alliance and with the Taliban to do that at the end of the 90s. Then the Taliban backed out. The Taliban balked, and they wouldn't go along with the deal anymore. So that's really a large part of why they had to be taken out. The guy that's now in charge, Karzai, was an employee of the Unocal company that had the pipeline. When they decided not to go ahead with the pipeline, then they started planning to build a pipeline to the west that would only go through the Northern Alliance section at the tip, northern tip of Afghanistan. And the company that was developing that pipeline has been in the news recently. It's called Enron. Okay. But they're doing that because by 2050, 80% of the remaining oil in the world will be in the Caspian Sea region by their projections. What we need oil for? We need oil because we have an oil-dependent economy, an oil-monopolized economy. It doesn't have to be that way. We have many other energy paths and capabilities, but as long as you monopolize the oil, and also we need the oil for a reason that most people don't understand. We're 4% of the world. We consume 65% of its oil. There's already that imbalance. But within that 65%, by 1985, 65% of that amount of oil, and projected for now at 85%, is military use. So that means we're going abroad to fight wars to protect oil in order to have enough oil to fight the war.
There you go.
And it's not
That's as well as it can be said right there. Does that sound like an oxymoron to you? Because it is. And so this is what happens. You create a central bank, you have endless and perpetual war because you're creating disparities and someone's going to have to fight to protect those disparities. And so the corollary to this that I was going to mention, and then we'll go to the phones, folks have latched on. You'll find lots of articles and YouTube videos, especially in prepper and conspiracy oriented blogs and places. The NIAC, the President's National Infrastructure Advisory Council's report, Surviving a Catastrophic Power Outage, How to Strengthen the Capabilities of the Nation, issued this month. And people will say, oh, look, DHS is saying we should be prepping, we should be this and that. No, no, this is a, make no mistake about it, it's a continuity of government effort. It's like the threat of global warming from the First Global Revolution by Alexander King and Bertrand Schneider, the threat of global warming. It's the threat of a dirty nuke or something at altitude, an EMP. It's the threat of it. Because we have this threat, we have to do all of the, we need continuity of government and emergency this and that. And if you read through it, just glance through it. If, you know, for those who have been watching, I mean, I stuck it in the library Google Docs or whatever thing that I sort of loosely maintain. And just read through the bolded text in it. It's under 100 pages. It's a pretty quick read. And it seems very – it's a thinly veiled propaganda attempt to further the ends of continuity of government. Just a couple of things. President's National Infrastructure Advisory Council was tasked to examine the nation's ability to respond to and recover from a catastrophic power outage of magnitude beyond modern experience. It's the trolley car dilemma. We've never had this problem. We never will. But you know what? We might have this problem. So what would you do? What would you do if a leprechaun at the end of a rainbow in your backyard had a pot of gold and you had a unicorn or a Pegasus that you could ride out to the – what would you do? These are games we play as children, but we're not children anymore, are we? Bible tells us when we we grow up, we're supposed to grow up. So there are recommendations, and then you go through each one of these recommendations. Design a national approach for catastrophic power outages and mitigate, and that has the upside down little pentagram thing. That's fun. Mitigate cross-sector interdependencies and cascading failures. So the recommendations, I'll just read the bullet points quickly. Examine and clarify the federal authorities that may be exercised See, federal authorities, identify them, examine and clarify. You think of fusion centers and the different ways that the country has been divided up into regions. That starts to come to a mind immediately, at least for me. Number two, develop, and I'm just reading the bold text, develop a federal design basis and the design standards criteria. Again, listen to what Richard Grove is saying about what was going on at the turn of the 20th century and what these guys envision. This is playing right into that whole agenda. Number three, develop guidance and provide resources for states, territories, cities, and localities to design community enclaves, which again sort of lends itself to the article that I mentioned. Four, design and support a portfolio of incentives. That's interesting. A lot more I could say on that. Five, conduct a series of regional catastrophic power outage exercises, more exercises. Oh, boy. Because that always goes well, doesn't it? It's kind of like TSA. What have they ever stopped? They've caused plenty of problems. We know that exercises lend themselves to strategy of tension efforts. And, you know, the Boston incident and its corollaries certainly comes to mind. Who is Graham Fuller? Who is Uncle Ruslan Sarney? Anyway, number six, ensure that all critical natural gas transmission pipeline infrastructure. Oh, yeah, that should be privatized. We should have, you know. Anyway, number seven, develop or support a flexible, adaptable emergency communications system. Always the emergency, always the 9/11. So these stories go together. And the point, in simplest terms, I suppose, that I'm desperately trying to make is if you have a central banking system that issues a currency, well, it's first of all, it's in the hands of a private cartel, and it's issuing currency at interest. You know, yesterday Bob mentioned speaking of the Constitution, it was – oh, my goodness. Stuff is misbehaving. I digress. Article 1, Section 8, Clause 7, letters of marque and reprisal. But what about Congress's authority to coin money, to regulate the value thereof when it had value? Before substance went away and we were only left with form. March 9, 1933, for example. To coin money, regulate the value thereof, and fix the standard of weights and measures. When you go away from that, for example, in the dead of night, as bad guys gleefully admit, again, St. Louis Fed. Who owns the Federal Reserve? Who owns reserve banks? You know, that series, Making Sense of the Federal Reserve. Who owns reserve banks? By the way, they don't answer that question. They don't. But the first sentence, the Federal Reserve banks are not, and not is italicized, not a part of the federal government. But they exist because of an act of Congress. Well, that's disingenuous because it wasn't really Congress's idea. It was cooked up, obviously, in places across the pond and then, you know, formalized and smithed in places on this side of the pond. But there's that picture of Woodrow Wilson, December 23, 1913. What is happening around that time of year? President Woodrow Wilson signed the Federal Reserve Act. Over the next year, a select committee made up of Secretary of Treasury. Who are these guys? William McAdoo, David Houston, John Williams, et cetera, et cetera. You know, this is in the dead of night, basically. December 23rd, Christmas Eve, essentially. When you do this, you create disparities that destroy certain people, enrich a small coterie of others. And obviously you're going to have war. It's just a fact of history. Any good historian will tell you when you create a central bank that issues currency an interest and is in the hands of a private few, you're going to have inflation, which is the invisible tax that enriches some of the very few and impoverishes the great many. And then you're going to be trying to go around conquering and to conquer to defend the theft. Wouldn't it be better not to do that? We don't need to audit the Fed. We need to get rid of it. Be right back.
Many people write about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you a few from Amazon.com. My wife and I both use Extendivite and are very pleased with the results. It has helped to stabilize our blood pressure and to make both of us feel healthier. Good product and goodbye. So far, so good. I've been taking Extendivite 3 times a day, only a short while now, but already I've noticed the circulation in my hands and feet improving. They tingle. I like the idea of taking something herbal rather than pills. I take Extendivite 3 times a day every day. I think this supplement has helped with my increased fitness regime and to lower my blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $400? It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsight.com to make it happen. You will hear this offer only on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell 5.
Welcome back. It's ironic looking at these DefSec, you know, I'm looking for FM3-07 over at army.mil, and army.mil is not secure. The HTTPS address gives me a warning. Oh, this is not secure. DefSec contractors and the United States military sites that are not secure. Ironic, which reminds me of when Michael Rupert wrote about Promise, the Insula Promise software and the pirating of it worldwide. And you start to look at all of these hacks and things, the Marriott hack. And that was one of the things I wanted to talk about this week. Still haven't gotten to that. But, you know, with all of this stuff, again, you know, Bob, when he called in yesterday, he mentioned martial law. And what does martial law mean? That's a big can of worms to unpack. It means, by definition, it means a lot of things. You know, it depends on who you ask. It's one of those things. Temporary rule by military authorities imposed on a civilian population, especially in time of war or when civil authority is broken down. The law imposed on an occupied territory by occupying military forces, which sounds like nation building, doesn't it? Which also sounds like terrorism. But if you look at FM3-07 stability operations published 10 years ago now, it's a very honest and unvarnished, actually, account of how, speaking of things that changed after the Civil War, the military was used to reconstruct much of America, the South in particular. So chapter one, the American experience with stability, stability operations, it's nation building. During the Reconstruction following the Civil War, military forces maintained order and provided security. These forces also initiated comprehensive measures to establish new state governments. What? Hold elections. What? Sounds like what we did in Afghanistan just a few short years ago, about 10 years ago. They're having democratic elections since the first time in forever. Ensure the well-being of freed slaves. Yeah, right. An afterthought. And provide the economic and social development. Military forces assumed three roles during Reconstruction in the South. As an occupation force following the war, supporting a presidential appointment, civilian government. As a military government under the Reconstruction Acts of 1867. As a supporting force to elected state governments until 1877. That sounds fun. Martial law is an interesting discussion, but go to Webster's1828.com, for example, and type martial in there. Pertaining to war, suited to war, warlike, suited to battle, belonging to war. And so you start to get this. And then there's the more esoteric, pertaining to Mars or borrowing the properties of the planet, or, you know, all of the gods of war that I talked about that recently. And you start to see how, yes, there is, we're marinating in this psychology or psychopathy, as it were. Stick around. Third hour coming up. We'll go to the phones right after this break.
Extendivite, made from garlic, cayenne, bilberry, hawthorn, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle, feeds our body with the nutrients we need to keep healthy. Just listen to what Arthur had to say.
I was just wondering if any of the great products you have, I could use this about 10 years ago after I had congestive heart failure. And it fixed me up and got me going for the last 10 years. Lately, I've been having heart trouble again, so I placed another order because this was the only thing that ever worked. And I just wanted to let you know that you have a great product. Thank you very much.
Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.